And that kind of speaks to something else that I noticed in your research too, was the concept of the Stepford inductees.
Mm-hmm.
You say that you find a lot of people that end up like all of a sudden being like, I'm out of this, and I can't do this anymore. And
yeah, well, yes, and,
tell
and
me about
unfortunately,
that,
she's not the only one I know who's dropped out. A few people just say, you know, I can't handle it anymore, and so they have gotten to a few people that where that person has said, you know, I'm going to lay low at the subject because I need my life again. Just like she said, you know, she said, I need my life. I can't risk my family being hurt, and I don't want to be hurt, and I want to keep my job, and, you know, and so other people have done that. And I can think of a couple of my lab cases besides hers. Now, hers was probably the most dramatic, but another thing they'll start to do to really tweak you, I mean, when they want to mess with you, they can mess with you in a really easy way to mess with someone. Of course, if you get to their kids or their family, that's an easy way to mess with someone.
Yeah.
But if they don't have kids, another easy way to mess with them is financially or through their job. And I have another major abductee. This guy's been written about in books. I don't want to say his name right now, but he's
that's
been
cool.
written about. What?
I said that's cool.
Yeah. Major case. He's been written about. Known by a bunch of researchers and stuff, had major MyLab stuff happen. That's even been written about with him. And they messed with him financially. And he's tried to start up a company, and they ruined that for him. And tried to start up another, they ruined that for him. And finally he realized the only way he was successful in these areas is if he completely laid off the subject. As long as he laid off the subject, you know, he was able to fix these things.
Yeah.
But every time he'd get back into the subject, they'd screw up his finances again.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear one story like that, and again, like I said earlier, you think, oh, you know, paranoia. This person's just having financial difficulties, and they're relating it to this because, you know, they're wanting to blame something. But when I've heard this from a couple of cases, and then they draw some deliberate patterns where it becomes clear to them that this is what's happening, you know, that's, I mean, if they want to mess with you, you know, if they're really threatening you from keeping away from it or keeping away from a certain aspect, they can, you know. And, you know, and it makes the abductee drop going public, drop talking about it, you know. And in his case, it was mostly the financial thing. Now, I don't think he's completely out, but he's very hesitant to be public. You know, I think with some persuasion he'd be public again, but he's extremely hesitant because he has had these repeated financial problems in direct relationship to his going public. And in fact, one was there was a movie deal thing in relationship to his own story that they got in there and so screwed up. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, again, if this was just one story, you'd say, oh, this guy's drawing correlations or something. But again, I've heard it from multiple people. And when I say Stepford abductees, that's a joke because of the Stepford Wives movie, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like me, you know, I'm okay. What do you mean something's wrong? Nothing's wrong. You know, so when the abductee sits there and says, well, you know, I've just decided to walk away from this, you know.
Yeah.
And I've heard this sentence to me and used certain language a couple of times from different people that I start to go, wait a second, I've heard this before. Like when I hear the exact same wording from one abductee to another. Now, they don't realize, they don't realize there's any significance to what they're saying to me. But when I've heard the exact same wording and the exact same phraseology from another abductee, I realize, oh, my God, this is a post-hypnotic suggestion. This is mind control. This is they've been influenced to say this, that it's coming out in a certain phrase,
mm-hmm.
and I've had more than one abductee say that same phrase to me. But I've had this in different scenarios. This can happen in the experiences themselves where the abductee relates a part of the experience and uses the exact same phraseology as like they told me, like the abductee will be saying, in my experience, in my interrogation, they told me this or they did this or they explained this to me, you know. And then they'll give a phrase, and it's uncanny how many things I'm hearing over and over from the exact same people, which also suggests the reality of what's happening to them. I mean, I wouldn't be having them repeat back the exact same words said to them if multiples of these people weren't, in fact, hearing the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so this thing about I'm going to walk away from it stuff, again, I've heard some of the exact phraseology used. I mean, when someone says it to me and they look at me and they're saying it, like, you know, they think this is their own thought, and they say, you know, Melinda, I just got to walk away from this, you know. And I'm not giving the exact phrase now on purpose, you know.
Yeah.
But if it's said in a certain way, I mean, talk about I get hot and cold running chills up my spine.
Oh, yeah.
And then I go, hi, because it's like, I realize, oh, my God, I've heard this exact same thing.
Yeah. Do you try to talk these people, like, out of it, or are you just sort of like...
Oh, yeah. Then I tell them what you just told me I'd had two other people say, you know.
Yeah.
I've had three, you know. What you? And granted, not a lot. I mean, I've had, you know, two and three people say one thing, and then another two or three say something else, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah.
But still, it's like, now if I hear those things again, I'll be like, I've had four people say those things to me, you know. And, you know, and of course I tell them, I've heard this, in fact, the very guy I was just talking about and what he was saying to me, I had just had someone like 2 days before. And that's what was so weird. It was the timing thing. And I just had someone say that exact same thing to me 2 days ago. He goes, you did. And I said, that exact same phrase you just said. He goes, oh, God. And then he realized, you know, he's like, oh, my God. But that didn't help him feel like, if anything, it just confirmed for him how much they were really screwing with him.
Yeah.
Because he's telling me about his financial problems and then gives me this phrase about how he wants to drop out of it. And it was the exact same thing someone else had just said to me 2 days earlier, and I'm like going, you know, and he's like, oh, God, they programmed me to say that. And I said, I think so. I think so. You know, and, but that wasn't reassuring to him. You know, and so, and at the same time, when these people, I can understand wanting your life back. I can understand when you're really tired of the control and manipulation, when you're, you know, I mean, in both of these people's cases, the people they were befriended by, the groups of people they were hanging with, the way they were being manipulated, I mean, those two people within 2 days of each other, in both cases, man, do I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Their total burnout of it, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's hard because it's like, don't let me be the only voice out there saying this, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, thank God I'm not, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's hard for me. And then I hear that and then I think, you know, are these people being programmed to say this to say that specifically to me, to discourage me? Because when I hear it, it's very discouraging for me to keep going.
Yeah.
You know? And, but, you know, yet I am for now anyways.
Yeah, keep plugging away, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, with these MyLabs, it sort of creates a paradox of disclosure, because a lot of times what people say, obviously disclosure being the ultimate release of the UFO secret by the government, for those of you who, you know, just catching up with the UFO world now, you know, just a little backstory for those people. The MyLabs, they sort of create a paradox of disclosure, because it's going to be really hard for the government, if they're going to release UFO information, it's going to be really hard for them to justify the military abductions and just to explain them if they're even going to touch that. What do you think of sort of how the MyLabs, if it was just UFOs coming here, I can see how the government could tell us, but they've done so much illegal and illicit activity to keep the secret going. They're causing their own, like, paradox of secrecy.
Without a doubt they are. They're definitely got a catch-22 going, and that's to some degree, I think, helps perpetuate the continuation of the cover-up and continuation of non-disclosure, or a very controlled disclosure, because there's an effort to really control it.
Yeah.
So, and therefore, I don't think the MyLab scenario will ever come up. I mean, it can't, you know, because, you know, because of us the purely outrageously illegal and immoral nature of it. I think it may be addressed more and more by the UFO community, but as disclosure happens, I think disclosure is going. I can't imagine the disclosure scenario doing anything to benefit the abduction case scenario.
Oh, really?
It will independently, because people will be more open. It's like, well, aliens are here. Maybe they are abducting people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think if there is disclosure, it's going to be a limited, controlled disclosure, very specifically, of a particular aspect to if anything, to say yes, there are UFOs, or yes, they have crashed, or they visited here, but that's it. In other words, don't look any further, kind of thing. Because I think the abduction scenario is so extremely problematic in that area that either it'll be just completely separate from it, or there'll even be a negative spin put on it. I hope I'm wrong, but in looking at how they've gone about it so far and the kinds of things that are being disclosed, well, luckily at this point it just seems to be separate from it, and I think that's the best we can hope for is that there'll be a disclosure of certain things, and it will be just separate enough from the abduction stuff that it won't put a negative spin on it. And maybe people thinking, well, okay, if they have come here in the past, maybe they are currently coming and maybe they are doing this, It might open up people to the idea. But disclosure initially, I don't think will address it at all. I'd be extremely surprised if it did in any way. And hence, not addressing the alien abduction, you're not going to be addressing the military part. And even if the alien abduction scenario ever got addressed, it would not include the military aspect. No.
Well, yeah, there's so much.
So.
Yeah, there'd be so much. People would be really responsible for what they've done, and they wouldn't want that, obviously.
Now, as far as it's funny, it's the Vilab stuff is completely problematic in the idea of them disclosing something, yes. But the MyLab scenario is so important to understand how there has been this control and manipulation of the information,
exactly,
and why there isn't a disclosure. So it's understanding it helps you understand some of the underlying patterns as to why and how they're controlling and manipulating the information. The more I've gotten involved in the MyLab stuff, the more it's made me realize that, and I'm not going to say that there won't be disclosure, but it's more like they're really, this is going to sound crazy, but I mean this, it's kind of hard to define, but there really isn't a cover-up. It's always been about a control of the flow of information.
Yeah.
So, the byproduct of controlling the flow is you're covering up other stuff. So by default, you're covering up. But it's not like there's ever been an attempt to cover up. The attempt has been to manipulate the available information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is happening big time. I think it's always happened in the UFO community, and I think it's happening even more so now.
What? How do you get in depth a little bit on that? What do you mean more so now?
Well, just the manipulation, the information, certain things being deliberately leaked out. I think there might be like a series of Rorschach tests, if you will, ink blot tests, where they're putting certain things out there to see how the community runs with them and what it does with them. I'm extremely suspicious every time I hear of an insider disclosing or something. Not that they discount them all. They may be the real thing, but is there an underlying reason to their doing it?
Exactly, yeah.
Is there some manipulation behind the scenes to why they're doing it? And I'm cautious of that.
Yeah.
And I think this subject matter has always been controlled and manipulated. And it took my really being involved to the depth of realizing what is happening and how much they've done with the technology and this kind of thing to see that. In other words, you know, that's something that sounds like an absurd statement on the front, but I think when you're involved in this subject deep enough for a long enough period of time, you naturally come across that as kind of the only viable explanation, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, cover up becomes an incorrect term, you know, because it's always been about the controlling what information is available and influencing the way people think about that information.
Now, as far as disclosure in general, I always kind of like to get an idea of what other people think about it, because everybody has their own opinion. Do you see the idealized idea of disclosure happening, not just in the next few years, but just in your lifetime
this
in general?
This is the trick. I think it's been happening all along. That's part of why we have to say, well, it's not like a cut and dry thing. It's not one or the other. You know, it's been happening. There's been a continual release of information out, and I think that is increasing. Is there some end game in mind where then this society accepts this as commonplace? Yes. I don't know what that time frame is. I don't know if that's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. I don't know what that time frame is. But I see it unfolding at an ever increasing rate. So I think disclosure is happening. It is happening. It is happening. Granted, us in the community would like to see it happen faster. Do I want to see it happen faster? You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. I mean, because then I won't have to fear ridicule as much. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, I want to see it happen. But we can't say it isn't happening. You know, it is. Can we do things within the community to encourage that? Yeah. You know, one of the things you do to encourage receiving better information is being a better investigator. When you're a better researcher and better investigator, you get leaked better information. So we all need to, like, dot every I and cross every T and be really evidence-based, and, you know, because that's how they're going to say, okay, they're ready for the next level. The UFO community is ready for that next level of information. We can constantly prove ourselves as worthy of the next level. I know that sounds sick, but encourage the insiders and treat the insiders that come forward well. I mean, we haven't always. We eat our own, is the case maybe.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot from a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, and encourage them, treat them well. Support them. That doesn't mean accept everything they say blindly. No, do real research about what they're saying, because remember, there may be other reasons behind the scenes as to what they're doing. That doesn't mean don't pay attention to them or be overly suspicious of everyone. That means, yeah, be suspicious of everyone, but be supportive and do the research about them. Do the research, you know, that kind of thing. And because I think we can reach critical mass if enough people are disclosing, if enough insiders come forward, enough whistleblowers. You reach critical mass, you get the media attention, and that's when the game really changes. When we have a positive media spin on the subject, you know, a Watergate-esque scenario or an Iran-Contra scenario, so something where someone who's high enough ranking or a group of people who are high enough ranking cause enough of a stink, you know, and I think we can reach that critical mass, and that's where the people, man, oh, imagine that, democracy, you know, government buying for the people, wow, what a concept. That's where the people will step up and say, we want it, and we'll make it happen. So there's level one of saying we want it, and first you've got to educate them to want it, you know, we're at that level still. Then when they become educated enough to say we want it, then you give them the guidelines on how to make it happen, you know. And so you talked about activism. That's what we need. We need activism in this community. So far, we're researchers and historians, you know.
Exactly. That's,
you know, and we need activists. Yeah.
Well, I think this seems to be an evolution of the field. I like to talk about it as an evolution of the field towards more of an activist, because we're at the point now where proving UFOs are real is really, that's been done almost, you know, with the exception of, like, having the actual craft here to show you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like we can't keep trying to prove that he's real, we got to sort of try and figure out what, you know, we got to sort of like marshal the troops here to get this thing going.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it's important that people know.
I think that's a good way to put it, the evolution of the field. I think it is the evolution of the field. You know, and it's been, when you look at 50 years of UFO research, it's been a pretty slow evolution, and I just think in like the last 10 years it's made major headway.
Yeah.
And I think it's doing that exponentially. So I think, you know, over the next years, we're in for some, you know, some interesting developments in it, without doubt.
Yeah, well, it seems like there's a lot going on with the thing in Canada and that thing down in Brazil last year. So it seems like it's sort of happening around the world, and maybe it'll come to America finally.
Sure. I mean, yeah, and then you did the thing in Brazil, you're right. And then, and before that, you had the Comita report and that whole thing.
Yep.
And then you have the disclosure process in Canada, you know, so yeah, and the media starts to pick up on it. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I think the scale will tip and will reach critical mass.
Now, do you think it's
and I don't think that'll happen overnight, but I think it can increase exponentially where it happens over a period of time, and suddenly 10 years later you look back and you go, oh wow, we know it's been disclosed, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's also like a generational thing where, like, as the next generation comes up, not just of researchers, but just of people in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Young people come up, the idea of UFOs and, you know, the public opinion is...
And we're just moving out away from World War II generation, but basically, you know, the World War II generation of you trust your government. They're there for you. You believe them. We're the best and the brightest and the best society and the best economics. And, you know, and when you know when either that goes away or things change or you wake up from the dream or a combination of the above, you know, then you have, you know, subsequent generations who look at things differently and approach problems differently. And, you know, so I think you're right. There's a generational change, without a doubt, and I think we're fast stepping away from a pro-militarization concept, you know, and people, you know, and without a doubt, people question the government more and more constantly. And if you look at how that, you just look in the last 50 years, last 40 years, last 30 years, how people conceptualize the government and its place. 30 years ago, the way we think about it now would have seemed completely outrageous to people 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's just 30 years, you know, let alone 40, 50 years, you know. So, yeah, I mean, those things change, and our ability to deal with other issues and concepts changes. And it's all coming together, and that's why I said there's an exponential increase. I think it's because of all these factors contributing.
Okay, and this is sort of the final question here. We've gone a while, so I hope you don't mind.
I know, and I'm repeating myself now, so sorry about that.
It's all right. This is almost like a general sociology sort of ufology question, and luckily, I think, let me think for a minute. Yeah, I think you are the first woman I've ever interviewed for the show, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Made history.
Shame on you.
Well, that sort of speaks to the question, and that is women in ufology, it's a much smaller...
There's quite a few of us.
What's that?
Because there is quite a few of us.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems there's certainly a demographic. There's a lot more men, I find, than women in ufology, at least as far as researchers go. Obviously, there's a lot of big-name women in ufology anyway. I mean, you know, I'm not disrespecting them. There's tons of them. I hope I can interview a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be like a 3-to-1 maybe or something, I don't know, ratio of men to women.
That may be fair. I think 3-to-1 is about a fair scenario. Uh-huh.
And why do you think that is? And then what do you think of that sort of demographic breakdown in the field? And does it seem to be more? It's like a 3-part question. Jeez. And does there seem to be more women in the abduction field than ufology? Because that's what I've been told. But you'd know better than I would.
I'll address this one first because the first one that comes to mind, which is, are there more or why aren't there more women in ufology in general?
Yeah.
First off, and I think this can be applied to other subjects as well, at least historically, that there seems to be, when it comes to things that are that involve military cover-up kind of stuff,
yeah,
or technology, that in those career areas, and maybe I'm making an untrue blanket statement, but my perception is that they've tended to be more places, you know, that appeal to men than to women. Now, there are a lot of women, but we're also talking, if we're relating it to UFO subject, if we talked about a 3-to-1 scenario on the UFO subject, you could look at any other field that deals with certain similar subject matter, things like politics, military, technology, these kinds of things,
yeah,
that which is predominantly when, you know, the aspects of the subject, that, you know, I think overall in those areas it's a 3-to-1 scenario.
So it's about the same, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think also historically it was because women couldn't get jobs in those areas. So I think there's a historical thing you have to look at. And so I think in those areas it's changing, and changing rapidly. And because those were the areas of interest were because men were encouraged to have those interests and women weren't, because there wasn't employment there for women. So women were encouraged to do things where there'd be employment for women. I'm talking 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But hence, those areas of interest were the areas of interest to men, and hence men would be the first to get into alternative subjects within those areas.
Yeah.
So I think you can look back and say, well, there was a societal thing that early on, I think, affected why women weren't involved in the UFO subject. And it was very much an old boys' network for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I think as you see that increasing in society with now the encouragement of women to get into those technical areas and into the military and into these kind of things, that you see those numbers increasing. I think to the same degree you see those numbers increasing in the UFO field,
yeah,
because now it's okay to, it's accepted by society for women to pursue those kind of interests. I mean, I think it has been for a long time, but it takes a social movement time to adapt and change.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, for the numbers to reflect.
Yeah.
And so I think we're seeing those same numbers reflected in I mean, I don't know.
No, I'll agree with you.
But this is a general statement. I think you'd have to really ask a sociologist. But I think the way that it applies to society, it's going to reflect in the UFO field. And I think that's all we're seeing is the same reflection.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, as far as the abduction subject, I don't think that there's more women to men. There may be more women hypnotherapists, possibly. And that may only be because it's those areas of support, of nurturing, of, and again, this is a societal thing. I think that women for many years have been encouraged to do those lines of work and stuff because of the supportive, nurturing, counseling, you know, kind of areas.
Yeah.
Now, granted, there's a lot of male psychologists, a lot of male psychotherapists.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so I would say in the abduction subject, I don't know that it's more women to men. I think it's maybe about half and half. But it may seem like more in relationship to the rest of the UFO field because the rest of the UFO field was an old boys' networks for so long.
Yeah.
Predominantly. I mean, that's a blanket statement, but predominantly.
No, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it may look like there's more in abduction, but I think it's actually more balanced in abduction because of people having an interest in doing counseling being more balanced men to women.
Yeah.
And that's, again, you have to ask a real sociologist.
Oh, yeah, this is more just sort of like what your opinion on the whole thing is.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
It's a valuable opinion because, you know, like I said, you were the first woman I've interviewed, and that's a question that I've wanted to ask before, so I think it's a...
Well, I'm certainly not the only woman
interested
in this subject.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not the only woman in the abduction field by any means. I'm not the only woman even in the MyLab subject, and there are many women researchers in the UFO field, so...
We're working on getting them on the show, don't worry.
Yeah. Maybe it's your own personal bias.
Give
you a bad time.
Some people just don't email you back. That's how it works.
Oh, okay.
You know? I mean, come on.
That's true. Women are not as good about emailing back. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I'm getting booed at.
Oh, no. Well, we should probably wrap it up here. I've taken up way a ton of your time. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Well, like I said, thanks. Thank you so much for appearing on the show. I really appreciate it. What can we expect from you in 2006? Do you have anything big coming up that we should know about?
Now that you say it, well, I have not written a book. A co-researcher, kind of a research associate of mine that's helped me quite a bit with my research, and we work together on projects, has written a new book. He's in the process of kind of coming up with the final title of it. I believe the title is going to be based upon a Corso quote, a Colonel Philip Corso quote, because the book is about Colonel Philip Corso, Bill Uhouse, an insider that has come out with his story of having had worked at Area 51, and myself, and the cross-correlationship between our three stories, if you will.
Yeah.
And the book is by Randy Kopang. It's at the printer as we're speaking now.
Awesome.
So I expect by the end of January there'll be copies available. It could probably be easily picked up at UFO conferences, and maybe search by the name Randy Kopang online, and you might find something in association to it.
How do you spell the name so people?
Randy is R-A-N-D-Y. Kopang is K-O-P-A-N-G.
Okay.
But anyhow, so that's exciting because I'm going to be featured in this book, and it'll address many of the things that we just talked about in the context of this interview.
That's awesome.
And
how about conferences? Are you going to be speaking anywhere that you know in the next
there's
year?
There's a local conference I'm going to be speaking at, I believe, in April here in Orange County. Not so much a conference, just a speaker event.
Yep.
Called the Orange County Freedom Forum. And I just got asked to speak there in April. They wanted me to speak earlier, but that's the date that works for me. So, So it's the first week of April, the Freedom Forum of Orange County. And then I believe I'm going to be speaking at the Los Angeles UFO Expo, the one put on by Lisa Davis.
Mm-hmm.
In September. There has been talk about my speaking there in the past. There's not been a formal invitation yet because it's too early, but because it was discussed in the past, I feel fairly secure that I'll be asked to speak at that.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, basically she did ask me in the past, but I realize when you get closer to the conference, things can change.
Yeah.
And I would have to have a formal invitation, but I have reason to believe I'll be speaking at that.
So you're optimistic or cautiously optimistic?
Yeah, and that's I said September. Actually, it might be November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when she does that, it's somewhere between September and November.
All right. Well, thank you very much for appearing on the show. Like I said, I was chasing you around the X conference all April, all that.
I apologize for not having the time then, too.
Oh, don't worry about it. Well, when I was doing the research for the interview, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh, no, she probably thought I was a crazy minder guy. I'm like, oh, no.
No.
I'm not, to the best of my knowledge.
You don't see this the wrong way, but you don't come across slick enough to be a minder. No.
That's probably
kidding.
That's probably why I do get a lot of emails back for interviews. Maybe people appreciate my folksy nature.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, thank you very much for the interview.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'm sure the people are going to really enjoy it, and I'm really glad to get your research out there and for people who hadn't discovered it yet to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you doing that. I mean, it's always good to get the information out there and educate people, and I appreciate you not only helping me do that, but I certainly appreciate you doing that on the subject matter as a whole.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That does it for this week's edition of Binaural of America Audio. Big thanks to Melinda Leslie for stopping by and giving us so much time and really digging into the MyLab story with us. I want to thank Leslie and Chiron of binaulofamerica.com for your continued help and support with the audio series. Also, big congratulations to Chiron for 1 year of spectacular columns at binaulofamerica.com and chiron.net. And it is my pleasure to help bring your stuff to the masses. So thanks for being a part of BanAllOfAmerica.com. Also, big thanks to the websites out there that have been picking up BanAllOfAmerica.com's audio series, BanAll of America Audio, and spreading the word. I really appreciate that. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that if you enjoy our stuff and you want to help keep the show going and throw some bones our way, we have a PayPal button at BanAllOfAmerica.com. You know, throw some change in the bucket and help me dance. That's all I'm asking for. You can find that at BanAllOfAmerica.com, where we update daily with columns, reviews of other esoteric radio shows, esoteric news, esoteric parodies, and a host of other things. That's updated daily, and you can find it all at BanAllOfAmerica.com, www.BanAllOfAmerica.com. Next week, it is February 4th, 2006, and we are going to be talking to Colm Kelleher, co-author of Hunt for the Skinwalker. It's one of the most talked about books of the last few months. He's done the rounds of the talk show circuit, and now he's coming to BanAll of America Audio. I've heard many of his big interviews with regards to the Skinwalker book, so we're delving into new ground with Colm Kelleher. We're talking about the Skinwalker Ranch, we're talking about NIDS, we're talking about Bob Bigelow, we're talking about what he thinks was going on at NIDS and where NIDS is going in the future. It's going to be just, it's just an awesome conversation. You're going to enjoy it, I'm sure. That will be at BanAllOfAmerica.com on February 4th, 2006, next Saturday. Be there or be square. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being a part of the audio series. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for finding us after our hiatus. I really appreciate it. I've got tons of emails from people saying, hey, you're back. This is great. And really just keeps us going. We appreciate it. So stick around. We got tons of great guests in the pipeline. They're going to be coming up all throughout the winter and spring here at BanAll of America Audio. So thanks for listening. Until you hear from me next week, this is Tim BanAll, signing off.